What's going on, everybody? This is Aaron Washington. You're listening to the Business Casual Basketball Podcast. BCB is coming back at you guys, simplifying the game a dollar at a time. That's the goal over here. Thanks for joining me on another podcast. This is episode 149. Two major topics to address in this week's podcast. Number one, unlikely playoff performers. Here are a few players that I've seen in the playoffs that I don't think any of us really expected to have the run they did. But they exceeded expectations to a crazy amount and are really put themselves in a position to earn more money down the road. And then second of all, Damian Lillard's situation in Portland, the team overall, there's some turmoil going on over there right now. I wanted to address their issues, address what's going on, and the possibility of Damian Lillard moving on to another team via trade. As you can see, it's just me today, so bear with me, guys, going solo on this one, but I hope that you guys will find this somewhat entertaining and educational as we move forward into the world of basketball and look at what's going on for a few of the teams, a few of the players here that are really making their mark in the world of the NBA. Before we get started with that, there are a few sponsors I wanted to highlight and give them a shout out as they have given us some exclusive codes for some programs you guys can get involved in. As you know, we have teespring.com as a partner of Unwrapped Sports. If you go to that website /store/unwrapped, you can get some products that we have available on our podcast for you guys to purchase. I mean, that can be things like t-shirts. It can be little accessories for your phone cases, things like that. So it's a little bit different for every podcast. For me, I have stickers you guys can purchase as well as t-shirts. So if you want to check that out, be sure to go to teespring.com and those will be available for you guys right now if you want to check that out. Also, we have a VIP program at Unwrapped Sports. There's three available tiers that you guys can get involved with us using. It's going to be patreon.com/unwrappedsports. So we have some really cool memorabilia that's available to you guys if you go all in on our exclusive VIP program. But if you just want to support us in a smaller role, that's okay too. That's going to be available using that link right down there at the ticker. And we really appreciate your support because we have some great podcasters out there, great programs, and we want to continue to bring that to you. And the support is greatly appreciated. It helps us stay motivated and bring you guys the best content when it comes to the sports world. Also, mybookie.ag is a partner that we have. They've given us a code USN100. That's going to give you a 100% sign-up bonus. So if you guys are looking to getting into the betting game and you want to double your first deposit, that's the way you're going to do that, is using that code right down there, scrolling across the screen. So, I mean, what better time than now? I mean, we got the Suns going to the finals. We have possibly the Hawks going to the finals. I mean, they're pretty hyped down here in ATL. So if you guys want to bet on one of those teams to win it all or some other sport, check out that code. It's a great way to get started here right now as we speak. Lastly, rxhemp.com has a code called by the name of rxhemp-usn. So if you use that code, this could be 10% off your entire order. They have some really good recovery products that you guys can use if you're looking to get rejuvenated, bounce back after a lot of sporting activities, whatever the case may be. They're the people you're going to want to see if you want to get rejuvenated and just get in a better shape as you're trying to participate in various activities. So be sure to check out that code for 10% off your entire order. I'm sure it's going to go a long way towards helping you guys get more involved in whatever sport interests you the most. So for today, guys, there's two big topics on hand. I kind of stated earlier. So this is the first one here, unexpected playoff performers. The first name I'm sure is going to be a name that we've seen all over Twitter, all over social media for the last 12 hours or so. That's going to be Reggie freaking Jackson, guys. Reggie Jackson. What more can you say about this guy? I've gained a lot of respect for him over this playoff run. He was, to the Clippers even getting to the point of possibly making the finals. He was so good in just about every series. I think it was starting in one of those last games of the Mavericks series is when he really exploded on the scene and got people aware that this isn't the Reggie Jackson that came over from Detroit and signed for the veterans minimum 2 years ago. This isn't the Reggie Jackson that kind of showed up in the bubble last year and was kind of so-so, just another guy on the bench. And many of us, myself included, didn't even see him as a starting level guard anymore. We saw Patrick Beverley as the guy that started, bringing in Rondo this season for the second season of this whole experiment with the star players in LA. I really thought that Reggie was going to be a guy that just kind of came in and gave you 10, 15 points here and there. Good player. I figured he was a good deal on a minimum contract. this past season, you know, he was only on tap for about $1.6 million. So if you think about it that way, it's like, wow, what a bargain for a guy that used to start for the Detroit Pistons, and they signed him to a five-year, $80 million deal. So he's come a long way since then. And just to show some of his numbers overall in his playoff run, I just wanted to highlight how good he's been. He played 19 games in that playoff run, and that's a lot. When you're thinking about a playoff run, you do the math. The maximum amount of games you can play in a playoff run, if you do the 7 games maximum per series and you multiply it out by 4 rounds, you're looking at about 28 possible games, and he's at 19. So if they made it 7 games, I mean, that would have been like a 21 out of a possible 28 games. So he played a lot. And on top of that, he played almost 33 minutes a game during that whole playoff run. So this wasn't a guy that came in and gave you spot minutes. He was a starter. He was an essential player for the Clippers, even more essential once Kawhi Leonard went down at the end of the second round against the Utah Jazz. So Reggie Jackson came in and he filled that role perfectly, averaged about 17.8 points per game during that run. He shot 58% from 2, 40% from 3, 87% from the free throw line. So not only was he scoring in bunches, but he was very efficient on his way to that 17.8 points per game. So Reggie, an outstanding playoff run. I wanted to give him a shout out based on that news press conference post game last night. He was very emotional. He shout out that whole team. He said, "Those guys rode with me this whole season. I rode with them this whole way." That's one of the greatest compliments you can give to a team and your teammates, to say like, "Hey, I'll ride and die with those guys any day of the week." So he gave a lot of compliments to the Clippers front office, the coaching staff, the teammates he had. He was really just thankful that the Clippers gave him a chance to move on from Detroit and really just have a second chance in his career to kind of bounce back somewhere, get his legs back under him, get his confidence back. And we saw that in a big way during his playoff run here in 2021. So hats off to that guy. I really feel for him as he goes into this next stage of his career, you know, approaching 30 years old. He's basically in the second half of his career now. He's come a long way since he was a bench player with OKC. And I'm sure you guys remember he caught a lot of flack for that back when he was like, "Well, I'm better than Westbrook. I should be the starter. I should be the guy." He went to Detroit and he kind of tailed off at the end. And a lot of us gave him a lot of flack for that, myself included. We were just saying like, "See, he's not a starter. He's not a guy you can build a team around and expect him to play 30 minutes a game and average 20. Like when he played with Drummond and had that those one or two seasons, I was like, that was a fluke. He gets hurt, this, that, and the other. We just kind of cast him away and threw him away, kind of saying like, this guy is done. But he proved us all wrong. So respect to Reggie for pulling that out of the hat here. But here's the challenge for LA. If a guy is on a minimum contract and he has a playoff run like that, what happens? He gets a raise. So his money is going from minimum to, I mean, the least average league salary, which at this point is almost $10 million, if not $10 million. So that puts LA in a tricky situation. And I really wanted to look at what their future is going to look like as it pertains to their team, specifically Reggie Jackson. Like Reggie is a guy that, I mean, if we're going to do the math on this, LA has had his rights for 2 years, 2 seasons. So that gives them early bird rights to Reggie Jackson. Early bird rights are acquired if you have a player on your team for 2 seasons without re-signing with a new team in free agency. So if you do the math on that, that's about 175% of his current contract. That's what the Clippers can offer him as a raise using the whole bird rights thing. So that's not a lot of money. If you do the math on that, 175% of $1.6 million, I'm not a math major. I'm not going to claim to be a mathematician. But I think this is right. $2.8 million, not even $3 million. That's a little bit more than the minimum, but that's barely more than the minimum. Maybe $1.5 million more. Reggie Jackson is going to look at that and say, like, "Hey, guys, I love you. I know I just said I'll ride or die with you, but I'm not going to re-sign in LA for $2.8 million. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. You're going to need to do better than that." So that kind of takes LA's tools to re-sign him from simply a bird rights raise, which doesn't come close to producing the kind of money that he is owed or deserves. And then they have to shift their focus over to the taxpayer mid-level exception. So that's not the non-taxpayer. The non-taxpayer is worth about $10 million. Maybe that can get Reggie to re-sign. I could do that. But since the Clippers are over the apron, which is $6 million over the tax amount, the luxury tax, they are excluded from the non-taxpayer mid-level exceptions. So that only leaves them with the non-taxpayer, which is only worth about $5.9 million, give or take. That could change. The official salary numbers for next season aren't out yet, but that's still pushing it. Like, he's going to have to probably take a discount if he wants to come back to the Clippers. So what does that tell us? Probably not a guy that's coming back to the Clippers unless he just loves that team to death and he wants to come back on a steep discount relative to what he can make on another team. You know, of course, it's still going to be a raise based on what he made this season. But if we're looking at what another team with cap space can offer him, it's not going to be in that ballpark. So it really depends on Reggie's wishes, desires. Like, does he want to take a discount? Does he love this team that much? You know, he'd probably be a starter from day one. I don't think Beverly would take a spot. Just looking at how he played in this playoff run. But LA has a lot to deal with. So Kawhi is going to be priority number one. They're going to try to re-sign him. He has a player option, so we can opt out. They're going to try to deal with that first, and Reggie is going to be priority number two or three. So we're going to have to look at how the Clippers deal with this. But, I mean, their books are loaded. If you go to their cap sheet and you factor in the different cap holds that they have right now, I mean, geez. I mean, they are not far from the luxury tax, honestly. I mean, honestly, if Kawhi picked up his option, Ibaka picks up his option, I mean, yikes, they're pretty much at the tax already. The tax for next season, $136 million, give or take. And that team's salary would be, I mean, my God, maybe like $145. So, I mean, they're already over the tax without a new contract for Reggie Jackson. So you can see how the math is going to be hard to kind of match up in this situation. So we'll have to wait and see. But if it were my guess today, I would say that Reggie Jackson doesn't come back to the Clippers. But we'll have to wait and see on that. And see how much he commands. It could be 10, it could be more. 10 million plus, but he's earned it. He had a fantastic playoff run. Next guy I wanted to highlight for the Atlanta Hawks, Kevin Huerter, just a fantastic playoff run. His numbers aren't all that different from the regular season, but I think a lot of us kind of undersold his impact that he can have on this team. Most of us look at him as a shooter. It's like, hey, he's a sharpshooter. He's a Klay Thompson type of guy. Doesn't take a lot of dribbles, but you would be wrong if you identify him as just a guy that's just going to spot up from three. He could put the ball on the floor. He could finish decently well. He can even play a little bit of defense. You know, he's got a little bit of a defense in this game. He's 6'7". He's got good length. So he can go up against guys like Chris Middleton and not get absolutely destroyed. So that's a huge benefit to a Hawks team that's sometimes lacking in the defensive department. But, I mean, they are not lacking in the shot-making department whatsoever, thanks in part to Kevin Huerter's contributions. He's maintained efficiency from all across the floor relative to the regular season, and he's improved his effective field goal percentage overall. So, I mean, he's shooting better from long range. He's shooting a little bit better at the rim. He's shooting about the same from three, I think in the upper 30% range. So that goes to show you that this isn't a guy that's going to shrink in the moment, playing next to Trae Young, playing next to Bogdanovich. He's going to maintain his efficiency, be just as aggressive, and he's proven to be a capable playmaker, honestly, due to his ability to handle the ball, get to his spots, set other guys up. He was in the 75th percentile in assist percentage this season. So that shows you that he's not just a scorer. He's not just a three-point shooter. He can handle. He can finish. He can defend. He can set guys up. He still has some things to work on, but if you're looking at a guy that's like 22 years old, He's actually come a long way, only in his third year in the league. So hats off to Kevin Huerter. He's had a fantastic playoff run, and it's going to continue here tonight against the Bucks. They're getting ready for Game 5 here in a few hours, and it's going to be interesting to see how he responds to Trae Young possibly being out again. You know, he's done well for himself. I think he's a guy that you can rely on to get you some buckets, even without a guy like Trae Young. I don't think he's that dependent on star players to set him up. He can do some stuff himself, just like Bogdanovich. And I talked about this in a prior podcast, but the importance of shot creators and distributors in the playoffs, I think it's becoming more and more just pronounced and exaggerated as we go into the future. Guys that can create their own shot, that can take guys off the dribble. I mean, those guys are in high demand today. And every championship team has at least two or three of those guys that can do that. So basically, Huerter fits that mold to a T. And due to that, he's going to be a hot commodity when he does hit free agency. Now, he's not a free agent this summer. He's still on his rookie contract. So if we're going to look out in the future, he still has another season left. So next season, you know, he's owed about $4.2 million. So he's not at the end of his contract yet. But in 22, he's eligible to have a raise, basically. Well, he's eligible to be extended this year, but he doesn't actually get that new money until 2022. Same with Trae Young. But again, here's the challenge. They're not as capped out as the Clippers. They're not over the luxury tax. Right this season, they were about $17 million under the tax. And then for next season, I mean, they're probably going to end up somewhere around the same under the tax. So it's not like they're a tax-paying team. They have the full mid-level exception to offer to free agents or their own players and things like that. They have bird rights to a few guys. So they're not in as drastic as the situation as the Clippers, but they can end up there very quickly if they are not careful what they're spending. So you look at their young guys that are eligible for an extension. John Collins, he's going to be restricted. He's going to get a new deal regardless from another team or the Hawks. Either way, he's getting paid. Which I don't have John Collins on this list for today to talk about, but he's been another great performer. Shout out to John Collins. You look at a guy like Cam Reddish. You know, he's going to be eligible here in the next year or so for an extension. Herder is already eligible. Trae Young is eligible. And then you have DeAndre Hunter in the next couple of years being eligible. So if you look at that, that's like four guys that are eligible for a new deal, not to mention guys like Tony Snell and Lou Williams and Solomon Hill. They're going to be free agents this summer. Their contracts have expired and they're free agents this summer. So you add all that in, and it's easy to see how the money can get out of hand for Atlanta very quickly. So their cap space is basically gone. They're not a cap space team anymore. Ever since they went on that spending spree last summer and got Bogdanovich and Gallinari, they're in a different tax bracket right now, so to speak, if we're going to put it in like normal people terms. So their expectations have risen. I mean, they could make the NBA Finals. So obviously they're going to be out here. Their goals have changed their free agency from a couple years ago. But overall, it's going to be interesting to see what they do about Kevin Herter. I think they're going to do what they did with John Collins. They're not going to extend him right now. They're going to extend Trae Young this summer. Obviously, why wouldn't you extend Trae Young? He's a freaking star. Ride out Kevin Herter till next season, and then he'll become a restricted free agent just like John Collins is this season, this summer, and then deal with it then. I think they're going to kind of push that out a little bit farther out, see if Herter continues to progress in his career and get better. Being able to adapt to different situations, just like John Collins, and then address it in about a year or so. That would be my guess. But overall, Herter's had a great playoff run, and he's a perfect complement to Trae Young and the whole rest of that team. He brings exactly what they need from a shot-making, efficiency, defensive standpoint even. Fantastic guy, and he's got a really bright future, whether it's with the Hawks or with another team that he might possibly go to in the next couple of years or so. Third guy I wanted to highlight here on this list, Cameron Payne. Now, Cam Payne, major props to that guy. I watched him grind it out in the summer league 2 seasons ago in Vegas for the Dallas Mavericks. Had some 30-point games. He opened some eyes. He put himself back on the map. And then actually 1 year ago, I think yesterday, the Suns signed him in free agency for a 2-year deal. And now he's going to the finals. Absolutely incredible story. Incredible determination and resolve to get back to the league. Came in about 6 years ago, believe it or not. 2015, he was drafted by the Thunder. You know, he served as a backup dancer. One of the guys I work with No Trade Clause referred to him as a backup dancer to Westbrook, which is hilarious. But he's evolved from much more than that to a guy that can actually lead your team for stretches. I mean, that's incredible development. And specifically for this playoff run, before the final starts, he is at 16 games played, 20 minutes per game, 10 points per game. But here's the kicker, his efficiency, 44% from two, 36% from three. So, you know, a little bit better than average from there, but 93% from the free throw line. The dude doesn't miss from the free throw line. And that's critical in these playoff games. And Paul George can tell you that sometimes winning or losing playoff games comes down to free throws. It's simple as that. You make your free throws, sometimes you don't win the game. So Cam Payne definitely delivers on that front. And he's been a dynamic playmaker, lifting this team up to be capable of surviving minutes without Chris Paul. Chris Paul missing games due to COVID, missing games due to injury. Campaign has stepped up in a big way and been a fantastic contributor to this team. His quickness is incredible. His acceleration, ability to get to the rim is insane. His shot making, he could take guys off the dribble, create shots for himself from three. And again, just talked about this, that's incredible value, especially for a guy that's only making about $1.9 million this season. So again, pretty much a minimum contract. He came in, I think this is the second year of his deal that he got with the Suns last year, going into the bubble. And the Suns are in a similar position, I believe, to the Clippers in that they can only offer him the early bird rights extension. So that's not full bird. That's not, you know, being able to give a guy a huge raise. Early bird, it maxes out about 175%, just like I mentioned with Reggie Jackson's situation. So if we're going to look at it from that perspective, then 175% raise on $1.9 million only comes out to about $3.3 million total. So I'm sure Campaign's going to look for more money than $3.3 million. I don't think that's going to do the trick. So I expect him to get some more money from either the Suns, if they want to go that route, because, I mean, they have their full mid-level exception. They can offer him $10 million. But they might want to use that on a guy that's coming in from the outside from another team. They might not want to use that to retain a guy they already have or already had on the team this season. So he might be not long for this team. I mean, I'm not sure the Suns have their biannual, but if they have their biannual exception, it's a little bit more. I think it's around the $5 million range. They could use that. So, again, it depends on what Campaign is looking for. Is he looking for the consistency of the Suns, you know, a team that can possibly challenge for a championship next season? Or does he want that payday? And if I'm Campaign, I'm trying to find a middle ground. I'm sure there's some teams out there. There's a lot of teams with cap space this summer that are almost as competitive, if not as competitive as Phoenix, but have more money available to spend so he can get $8, $9, $10 million instead of $3 or $5 million, you know? So, I mean, that's about the going rate for a backup point guard in this league. I would say at least $7 or $8 million, I think, would be a fair market value for Campaign services, maybe a little bit more, especially if he goes into the finals, he continues to produce at a high level. You know, Chris Paul needs to get some breathers. You know, he's played a lot in the past few games. Maybe Campaign steps in and produces again, has another 20, 25 point game. And the Campaign could be eligible for some big money. I don't know if it's going to be Reggie Jackson money, but definitely a nice raise. So that's the Sun situation. You know, they're going to try to manage their books so it's not outrageous. You know, Chris Paul has that $44 million player option. They have six players coming up on free agency: Campaign, Nader, Galloway, Etuan Moore, Kaminsky, and Torrey Craig. So there's a lot of guys they're going to have to deal with and either find a way to get them back on the team on a reasonable contract or find somebody in the open market that can replace what they brought to the team in Campaign. Honestly, selfishly, as a Heat fan, I would love the Heat to go out there and get Campaign. I want him on the Heat so bad, looking at what he's been able to do. And I think the Heat might be able to open up just enough money to sign him. Depends on what trades they make or whatever, but I would love him on the Heat. And regardless of where he ends up, he's going to be a fantastic backup point guard. And that's a long way from where he was before, which is just about out of the league. So hats off to Campaign. He really earned this opportunity and whatever money he earns in free agency here in just about a month or so.
Listen, I love podcasting. Who doesn't? The process is great until you get to the part where you have to edit and distribute your podcast. It's time consuming and we all love convenience. Well, here's the most convenient option possible. It's called Anchor. There's creation tools in the app that will allow you to record and edit right from your phone, tablet, or computer. It will distribute your podcast for you on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other popular platforms. You can make money from your podcast with minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go to the free Anchor app or anchor.fm right now to get started. And trust me, you won't regret it.
Last guy I wanted to highlight as far as unexpected playoff performers, Seth Curry. Now, Seth Curry has been a baller for a few years now. He has a similar story to Campaign. He had to work himself back into the league. You know, he was in the D League. At the time, it was the D League. Had to claw his way back. Got a deal with the Kings, I believe. Went to Dallas. He was with Dallas two different stints. Ended up with Philadelphia this season. And he's been fantastic. He was fantastic during this playoff run in which he played 12 games, about 31, almost 32 minutes a game, 18 points per game, almost 19 points per game, 66% from two-point range, 50% from three, and weirdly enough, he only shot about 79% from the free throw line. But overall, his efficiency was off this out of this world. And with a team that lacked Danny Green for the last half of that series against the Hawks, he stepped up in a big way. He was a shot creator. He was a dead-eye shooter off the catch, off the dribble, from mid, from three. Got into the lane here and there. So, I mean, he was great across the board. And his shooting is even more vital to a team like Philadelphia. Not one of the best three-point shooting teams. Don't shoot the most threes. So his impact for Philadelphia specifically, I think, is just on an his importance was so high. Even though he got destroyed on defense a few times by guys like Kevin Huerter, just the ability for him to go out there and get a bucket at any time for the Sixers, where that was at a premium, it was huge. Like, he won some games for them in the playoffs, for sure. So hats off to Seth Curry for a great playoff run. His contract situation, however, is different from the other three guys that I mentioned because he's not a free agent. He's not going to be a free agent this summer. He's not even a free agent next summer. The Sixers got an incredible deal from Dallas that I think initially signed him to this four-year deal. So he's 2 years into his four-year deal. But check this out. For the next 2 years combined, he's only owed $16.7 million. For a guy that's a starter, he could be a starter or a sixth man and shoot. He'd be one of the best three-point shooters in the league. Incredible value, just incredible value. So this season he made 7.8, next season 8.2, and then in 22-23, 8.4. So yeah, Seth Curry is about 30 years old now, but I mean, he's going to be fine. I mean, he could be a J.J. Redick. This guy can easily be very effective as a shooter for at least the next 2 years, as long as his contract is going. So for a guy that's not even making probably the league average salary, you can't ask for more than that. You really can. A guy that comes in clutch in the playoffs, he's not shut down offensively. He can still get a shot off, even though he's a little bit undersized. He's like 6'2", you know, somewhere in that range. So when you consider his contract and what he means to this team, he's not going anywhere. He's not going to get traded. He's too valuable to what they do, and he's too much of a bargain. You're not going to find many other guys that are paid as little as he is and produce as much as he does. You can throw in guys that from this season, you can say like Duncan Robinson and Reggie Jackson and Cameron Payne and think guys like that, but they're about to get paid. John Collins, but their contracts are going up, as where Seth Curry's is going to be pretty steady for at least the next 2 years. Does not hit free agency until 2023. So, you know, you consider all that, and one of the best bargain contracts in the league. If any of you are looking for an article idea or a podcast idea, for like best contracts, that's where you want to look. Start with Seth Curry because he's a bargain, and I don't know whether he got some of his brother's powers or what, but fantastic in the playoffs, and they wouldn't have won as many games as they did without his services. So shout out to Seth Curry, although he can be exploited on defense. His offensive production more than makes up for that, especially for the Sixers. So on to part two of this conversation. We're looking at Damian Lillard. So we are past the unlikely performers. I guess we can stick with the unlikely title here if we want, because this situation is I don't think any of us saw this coming during the season. So if we were to look forward and say what's going to happen to the Blazers after the season is over, I don't think anybody expected their whole freaking team to blow up kind of like Houston did last year. It's like every year, it's like you look around the league and it's like, which team is going to implode this year due to an early playoff exit? Last year was Houston, Harden out, D'Antoni out, Daryl Morey out. This season, it's kind of like the same thing. Terry Stotts out. You still have Neil Olshey as the GM, although he's, you know, been really sketch on some of his comments lately. Dame is looking around. He's like, I don't know if this is the place for me anymore. And it goes to show you, not only do you have to keep stars happy, keep them believing your team is competitive before they're coming up on a new contract, you have to keep them confident even in the middle of that contract. So it doesn't matter if you send a guy to the Supermax, because I think Harden had the Supermax before he asked for a trade. Dame has the Supermax. I think he's going into the first year of his Supermax extension. So, I mean, you're not safe. Just because you re-sign a star player on your team, you can't just look at that and say, oh, we're good. You know, we can lose in the first round 3 years in a row, and we can sign mediocre players and have disappointing years. Like, it doesn't work like that. In today's game, players have so much power, so much leverage. You can't afford to take your foot off the gas. When you get later in your career, you see guys like Dame Dalla. You see guys like James Harden, Kyrie Irving. Towns, I think, is starting into that situation now. You can't keep losing. In their second contract, the money is fine. The money is enough. The city is enough. But once you get to that third contract, sometimes even the second contract, guys are looking for more. It's like, okay, my legacy is on the line. I don't have the championships to show for it. I don't have finals MVPs. I need more than just a good team, some good teammates, and some wins, some regular season wins. They want to be remembered for being winners. And not regular season winners, because you go back and look at history, you don't say like, wow, that guy won 60 games 5 times. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. It doesn't go like that. It's like, okay, he won 3 championships in his 15-year career. Even if a guy wins 1 championship, makes all the difference. Dirk is a prime example of this. First ballot Hall of Famer, one of the greatest power forwards to ever play this game. 1 championship. Chris Paul, I mean, he'd be a Hall of Famer either way. He doesn't need this championship, but guys take a few steps up the hierarchy of legends with a championship. So Dame is in the situation now where he's like, this isn't enough. I've been here for almost 10 years now. I think he's going into his 10th season in the NBA. He's given his all to Portland. He's hit all the game winners. He's got all these all-NBA selections, all-star selections. He's got that now. Now he's aiming his sights higher, or at least that's what it comes off to be based on his comments. So what's wrong in Portland? Like, what is going off the rails lately? I think this coaching search is the first thing that they did wrong. They went into this process, they had candidates, and they identified Billups and Becky Hammon as candidates. Those are the 2 candidates they brought, I think, to the second round of interviews. It's really unfortunate because I talked to my friend about this the other day. This is before Billups got hired. And basically he asked me, he's like, do you think Billups gets the job? Or do you think Becky gets the job? You think Becky gets her first head coaching job after being an assistant for I don't know how many years, just being one of the best assistants and, you know, being a woman and everything? And I was like, amen. Honestly, I don't think that that Becky's going to get the job. I think they're going to go with Billups. And sure enough, they did. I just saw the writing on the wall. And when you have a process like that and you say the things that Portland has said, it makes it look like you brought in Becky Hammon as like a figurehead or something like that, as opposed to like, I legitimately am thinking about hiring this person. And that resonates with me because I've been job hunting for years. And a lot of times I feel like I got the runaround because I applied, I had all the credentials, I had an interview, and I got ghosted. And it made me feel like, and then they come out here and say like, well, you almost had it, but how much is that? Does that help your confidence in the whole decision-making process? They say like, oh, you were great. You were so close. Was I though? Or did you just bring me in just because you just wanted to be nice and just give me a chance to meet you guys, you know? So that's what it looks like. I can't speak for their process exactly. I'm not in that organization, but it just seems like they brought her in just cause. And of course, that's always going to leave a bad taste in people's mouths when you're looking at who should be, looked at for these jobs and who should be basically given a chance, you know? So the next part of that is Chauncey Billups' qualifications as a coach. You know, he's been an assistant coach for a little bit, so I think he's got the qualifications. I wouldn't necessarily knock their selection of Billups because I think he's going to be a great coach. I think he has their credentials and everything like that. Of course, his past is a little bit of a question mark, but overall, it looks like he put in his time as an assistant. It looks like he's a very confident and smart basketball mind. But I don't know. Maybe this whole process, or maybe who they hired, maybe Dame wanted another guy. I'm not sure. he advocated for Jason Kidd for a while, but if you, even things like that, even things that are off the court, they don't necessarily have to do with the roster itself, the players, even that can get you in trouble if you don't quite go about it the right way. And speaking of roster construction, it's been lacking for the past few years. It's obvious when it gets to the playoffs, Dame is Dame. He's going to do his thing. But after that, sketchland. It's just like, I'm not sure who is going to be able to step up and produce across the roster as far as guys like CJ. You know, he had injuries this season. I don't know if he ever really got over that because he came out of the gates hot this season, CJ McCollum. And he kind of trailed off towards the end. So I'm not sure if he never recovered, but, you know, I don't think he was the same. You know, Yusuf Nurkic had a hand injury. I think he missed like 6 weeks or so. So that really hurt their continuity and overall star power. You know, man, if we're talking about a guy like Zach Collins, he just got hurt again. This guy can't stay healthy. So, you know, he hasn't even been part of the roster and he was a lottery pick. So if you spend a pick on a lottery guy at like 10th overall, wherever he was selected, that's really going to hurt your roster. And, you know, what you're capable of doing in the playoffs and just overall. Derrick Jones Jr. was underwhelming this season. You know, he barely played in the playoffs. They brought in a guy by the name of Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, and he basically took Derrick Jones Jr.'s spot. And Rondae Hollis-Jefferson was out of the league. He wasn't even on a team. So that was rough. Gary Trent Jr. For Norman Powell swap. You know, there's questions on that. I think in the moment I was on board, but it definitely hurts their future. Because here's Norman Powell. This dude's eligible for a new extension. He's a free agent. He's going to command, what, $20 million a season or something like that? Portland is not exactly a place that has a lot of cap room, so that puts them in a difficult situation. And then you have to think about CJ McCollum. If Dame stays, can you afford to keep pairing him with CJ McCollum? Just considering their shortcomings in the playoffs, just overall as a pairing. Because in the regular season, I'm sure you can get by with those two guys playing together as guards, but there's defensive shortcomings. They're, you know, they're lacking size and things like that. Their skill sets are redundant. If Dame had a guy like Klay Thompson, not necessarily like this version of Klay Thompson, but a guy kind of like that has a skill set, which I know is super rare in this league, man, that could be a championship team right there. So you know, Nurkic is still under contract. CJ is under contract. He's coming up on a big raise of his own. So there's still some guys under contract, but there's a lot of question marks. There's definitely a lot of question marks. Norman Powell, you know, he's going to get a huge, probably a nice little raise on his contract. He's only at about $10 million right now. That was a bargain, but he has a player option for 11, and he's probably going to turn that down. If he's a smart man, he's going to decline that option. Derrick Jones Jr. has a player option. That's almost $10 million. I think he picks that up. Believe it or not, Yusuf Nurkic is not guaranteed at $12 million. So Nurkic could be a guy that, I mean, they could cut him if they wanted to, but why would you? I mean, I think fully healthy, he's one of the better centers in this league. But again, playoffs, got exploited a little bit. He has his shortcomings. Not quite sure how they want to approach that. But to end this conversation off tonight, it basically comes back to I wanted to speak on the fans in Portland. Now, the fans have been giving Dame grief, and there were reports that Dame was going to look for a way out because he wasn't happy with how the fans interacted with him and what they were saying about him. I don't think that's really fair. I don't think we can really blame fans for pushing a guy out of town. I really highly doubt that ever happens. I don't think a player is going to make a decision on where they want to play in the future based on the fans, or at least not that much, you know, considering the fans that much. You know, fans are going to say stuff on social media. That's just the way it goes. Dame knows how this game works. And I think if he has any kind of confidence in himself, he's not going to let that get to him. He's Dame Dolla. He's got all-star appearances. He's got all-NBA appearances. So I don't think the fans are as big a consideration as previously thought. So I wouldn't say that's the reason he has to out or anything like that, despite the reports. I really think it comes down to the coaching process that they went through and how they approached that and the roster construction. It just hasn't been up to par. And that's where the doubt comes in for these players because they don't think the team is capable of winning on a high level. So they try to find greener pastures. It's as simple as that. There's trades out there all over the place. If you look at trade scenarios, you look at who they could possibly bring in to replace Dame. There's Ben Simmons rumors, things like that. I mean, I wouldn't be a fan of that. It would definitely be a shame, though, if Dame finds his way out, because he's one of the few players that's been with the team his whole career. He's been a class act. He's been great for the community. He's done nothing but great things for that team. I think he's already the best player in franchise history. And if you can say that about yourself, that's an incredible career. Regardless of whether you have a championship or not, if you can say, I was the best player to suit up for the Portland Trail Blazers or the Miami Heat or the Orlando Magic or something like that, there's a lot to be said for that. Not many players can make that claim. So, incredible career, but he's at a crossroads. This team is at a crossroads. Do they want to continue running it back and possibly risk alienating Dame even more? Or do they want to make some changes? If it were me, I would definitely go out there and try to make some changes. I would see what I can get for CJ McCollum. I don't even know if I'd bring back Norman Powell, to be honest. That's a lot of money. And maybe you can get somebody for comparable money that's maybe a little bit better on defense. Maybe that can cover some of those shortcomings. But, yeah, you definitely have to explore some trades. You got to make some changes. I mean, the coach is out. You got Billups. I think you're already kind of on the road towards retooling this team around Dame. If he says, hey, I'll give it another season, I'll give it one more season, I move heaven and earth to create a roster that he feels comfortable believing in and investing his prime years, because these are his prime years. I mean, Dame Dolla is not getting any younger, so the time is now for Portland to make a move. It's just unfortunate the stories that have come out and the reputation hit that this team has taken, because before it seemed like they were one of the better franchises in the league, but maybe they just got our hopes up. That doesn't look to be the case right now. But overall, that situation is difficult, but there are ways to rectify it. Portland is not – they haven't lost Dame yet, but their next steps, they have to tread very carefully and just make sure that's the best move for their future and for Dame, because Dame is their future. Without him, they're going nowhere. They're going to be next year's Houston Rockets. You know, they're going to the very bottom of the NBA. So that's about all I got, guys. I just wanted to highlight some situations in the NBA, how some of these guys have done as far as playoff performers coming out of nowhere and giving themselves raises and coming up in free agency, and then Dame Lillard's situation. But thanks, guys, for tuning into this podcast. Thanks for listening to me for 42 minutes, kind of ramble on if you made it this far. If you want to check out some Business Casual Basketball content, you know where to find us. It's going to be BC Basketball 2 on Twitter and Instagram. And then bcbasketball.info online. We have a new blog post out finally. I know it's been forever, but it's on Colin Sexton's situation with the Cavs and what teams could possibly trade for him and what that would mean as far as the salaries needed to make those deals happen. But go check that out on our website. And hey, give us a review if you like the podcast. We're on Apple Podcasts. We'd love to hear your feedback. And all your opinions are very valued over here on the podcast. So until next time, guys, we'll have a special guest back next week. So be sure to keep it locked here for that. Enjoy these playoffs. Enjoy the game tonight if you're watching. Enjoy the rest of your day. And we'll be back here on the podcast real soon with some more NBA content. So until then, guys, take it easy, and we'll catch you next time.